Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to Up to 90.
How are you getting on?
How are you, missus?
I'm grand.
Well, I have decided.
Oh, straight
I
in.
I was just listening to the radio there, but I was listening to the radio about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Fred that I've decided I want, you know, the level of confidence I want. The level of confidence I want is someone that rings a radio station with nothing to say. You know these people, Emma?
Oh,
what are you
yes.
up to? Nothing much. Why have you rang in like you rang us, love?
I think some
That's
people...
That's the level of confidence I want, Emma.
Up to 90, up to 90, up to 90 with Emma and June.
I think sometimes these people forget that they're ringing into a radio station and they're not just ringing their sister Claire. Do you know that kind of like my dad is perfectly okay to ring me with absolutely nothing to say.
Yeah, like, very, very true. That is true. Now, my mother has curbed those calls.
Oh, has she?
Well, when I say curb the calls, my mother has curbed my calls where I have nothing to say.
Oh, how often would your mom phone you?
Well, mom doesn't do the phoning. She's big into the WhatsApp since we've managed to convince her that it's not costing her money. She's big into the WhatsApp. So we
they
finally,
love that element,
we
don't
finally
they?
Overcome that hurdle. Oh, the video calls, she's like, this is costing me money, isn't it? And I'm like, no, it's not. It's all good. But I think I said that before, that she had said previous. And you know what? There was a lot of sense to it. I think we were all getting caught up in the thing of like ringing everyone every day and checking in. And my mother was like, listen, you don't feel you have to do this every day.
Oh, my mom's completely checked in.
Then she started missing a few calls. That's always the sign, because like, what else are they doing, really? So she started missing a few calls, not ringing back. I was like, okay, she just is like, we just need a day off from Judy's stories of nothing. But I really respect anyone who rings a radio station and is like, I'm doing nothing, but I just wanted everyone to know I'm doing nothing. And how do you like them apples? I just love that.
Well, you know, people that win prizes. And they barely muster up enough energy to say thanks. Those people.
Well, that's very true. Do you know the ultimate, my favourite prize winner? Do you remember the time the woman on the Late Late won the tickets to the toy show?
Oh,
and
Pat
Kenny
them up.
Was on. And there were toy show tickets and there was something else. And then Pat ripped them up because she was like, you can keep the toy show tickets. And he was like, what?
But like, in fairness, if you don't know anyone who's interested in the toy show, why the fuck are you going to be interested in it? Do you know what I mean? I think like a lot of people lose their shit about the toy show. Like, let's be fair.
I think it's probably the equivalent of Mardi Gras in Rio. You know, the way people lose their minds. Like, that's how we get about the toy show. But the one thing I'll say about this thing of not knowing anyone who'd be interested in going, that's effectively saying you've never met a child. You know what I mean? Like, there might be a child down the road. You might work with someone who knows a child. I'm team Pat on the ripping up.
Oh, I'm team Pat all the way. But, like, the thing is, the kids who are watching it now, they are the YouTube generation. Like, there's a very particular age that is going to be interested in toy show from start to finish. And then you're sitting there with all these gas kids looking at your kids for their reaction, and they're like, do you know what I mean?
Well, I think TikTok has just, yeah, absolutely. I think TikTok has destroyed the late late toy show, because like now everyone's a Billy Barry.
YouTube. Kids just, like, at a certain age, all they watch on YouTube is kids reviewing toys. So it's not like a new concept to them.
Oh, that aspect, yeah. Sorry, I thought you were talking about the little party piece. Yeah, they're all about that crack, aren't they? Other kids talking about toys.
Yeah, and you see, because you can look at exactly the toys that you are interested in. And sure, a minimum 50% of the toys on the late late as a kid you're not interested in. Like, the kids, I'll tell you what the kids are interested in when it comes to the toy show. They're interested in staying up late and getting the sweets. The show itself is for the adults. The show itself is for the adults. And I'm sorry now, but I have to say, these fucking saps, and I'm saying it and I'm standing by it, these saps that wear matching pajamas with their husbands and their kids need to be shot.
Well, do you know what I think?
And if you do that, you are blocked. If you start doing that with Fred, the matching pajamas at Christmas, the podcast is over.
We're not going to give the matching outfits. But I will say, I had a conversation with somebody about the matching pajamas, and I do think it's just a very American thing. Isn't it?
It's just
kind of like the other day.
That's all it is. I'm a sap. I'm a big sap. And here's me sap of a fella and me sapping kids.
But it's an American thing. Yeah, I just think we're too cynical for it ever to become the norm over here. I mean, it's up there with the family photos. Do you remember your American cousins? I don't know if you had any.
Yeah.
You'd always get the family Christmas card.
Professional picture.
Oh my God, the entertainment. Professional picture, everyone looking so earnest, pretending they like each other. I mean, the clatter rings were on show big time. The cross chains and the laugh we would get when the Christmas card would arrive from the States. Just such a giggle. I would put the matching pajamas into that bracket. But Fred actually did say the other day, he was like, it's so sad now that everything's on lockdown, because otherwise you could have done your big gender reveal party. I was like, what? I was like, please stop watching Teen Mom. But I blame myself, because I've been making him watch Teen Mom. So I'm like, now he thinks this is the norm.
Yeah.
Imagine if I threw a gender reveal party. Like, there'd be no coming back.
Well,
no coming back to up to 90.
No.
After a gender reveal.
I guess to the stage where it's taking the piss. Because you're doing a gender reveal, then you've got the actual birth and the baby being born. Then you're probably going to have some sort of christening. And then it's the child's first birthday. I mean, it's a fucking festival from the day you've had the ride.
I don't know how I'm going to fit in all the podcasting with all these big events that I'm already planning.
Now, don't get me wrong. If you ask me about the pyjama thing tomorrow, I might say, look, each to their own, leave them on. But the way I feel today, I just feel what a load of, like, saps.
But you see, that's what people enjoy about us, Emma, is that we're like the wind. Like, you know, one way it's going back to Tiger King, Groat Farrelly's like, this is disgusting that people are holding this man up as a protagonist. And I was like, thank God somebody finally had the balls to say it. And Fred practically pinned me to the wall and was like, What are you talking about? You mad bitch. Because we vacillate. It depends on our mood, Emma.
I know.
How we feel about things.
And I don't mind.
I'm not sure I have any steadfast opinions on anything.
I don't mind kids, siblings, if you will, dressing the same. Because I know with Tommy and Joe, they quite like to be wearing the same gear. Not every day, but sometimes. Like if I brought them into a shop, they'd probably pick out the same thing. So I've no problem with the...
Cute.
I've no problem with siblings wearing the same outfit.
Only when Daddy Bear and Mammy Bear gets involved.
Yeah. Wearing the onesie as well. I mean, fucking, get the boat.
Let's talk. Did you see Leo and his bag of cans?
Obviously, Liz.
Of the Phoenix. I have to say, all cards on the table. I really think people should, I mean, I really think people need to kind of get a bit of a grip here. I didn't see anything wrong with him meeting a couple of mates in the Phoenix Park.
And sure, one of them, like, I didn't take much notice of, but one of them, I presume, was his fella anyway, who he's living with.
Yeah, Matt, who, like, not to objectify, but for... Like, I mean, Matt is just a complete ride. But yeah, he was there with teammates. The only thing, I think, because people are just, you know, the way it's gas.
That's a bit.
Yeah, a few people were like, the top is off. But to be fair, he looks good with the top off.
Oh, no. It's not a question of how I think his physique is or whatever. It's just, it's a bit undignified.
Is it appropriate?
It's a bit undignified.
Do you think so?
Julie, like, honestly, can you imagine if Ryan Tuberty was in the Phoenix Park with his T-shirt off? I think the country would come to a hiatus because we just wouldn't expect that of him, to have his top off,
no.
T-shirt tucked into the back of the jeans, the fucking cap on, and the shades.
But I think the issue with Ryan taking his top off, and we can all visualise it, would be that his long sleeve jumper would be still around the shoulders. That would be the issue.
Yeah, but
so the top would be off. But there'd be something on those shoulders.
No, it's not to do with body type, because we've all seen the little scrawny lads going around with the top off. It's a vibe.
Well, look, of course, you know, I understand people saying maybe it's not appropriate, etc. But I just think he was there with his mates. For me, it's not something I'm particularly bothered about.
No.
I can get where people are like, oh, it's a bit much taking the top off. But I think he looks good. You know, he works out, like he's hanging out. People did take issue with the fact he had a bit of a picnic going on, which was, of course, we were told last week he shouldn't have a bit of a picnic. But to find a fucking picnic, I mean, a packet of Euromeanies, Emma, is a picnic.
It is, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a very, you know, it's a nebulous concept. But basically what it is that I feel, you know, in Ireland at the moment, things have been going too well. And we're like, listen, do you know what? We want a bit of a Dominic Cummings situation over here. There he is now, having a picnic. I mean, it doesn't really compare. Yeah. Doesn't really compare to, like, your man in England driving up to Durham, 260 miles, didn't stop. Hanging out with the parents, then going to the castle. Did you watch the press conference today?
Oh my god.
Hilarious.
I think
entertaining. It was on Sky News.
I think the worst part of it though was the missus and the article.
But sure, when she was asked, of course, his missus being, which I had very limited knowledge of the situation. But then when I found out that she was, you know, obviously, is she the editor for The Spectator?
I think, I don't know if she is, but or maybe she is, or her mate is, or something. But
she was the Spectator anyway.
Yeah.
And then when he said, well, my wife wrote that article because she's a writer, and the journalist said, then why did you write an article? Because you're not a writer. He said, well, I wrote a couple of sentences. Like, you know, Prince Andrew was at home just punching the air, saying, thank God. Like, on a scale of one to Prince Andrew, how bad was that? that press conference this evening. I mean, so, and then when he accidentally topped Boris in it by saying that Boris knew weeks ago that he had gone on this little road trip. And the thing about how he tested his eyesight, did you see that bit?
Oh, yeah.
How he's feeling a bit blind. So instead of driving to London, he said, you know what, I'll just go to see this castle.
Yeah.
Just to make sure I'm safe. And hilariously, then somebody actually, I just saw somebody put it up on Twitter before we started recording. Coincidentally, his wife's birthday is also coincides with the day they decided to take the field trip to the castle. So you're just like, Dominic, please.
It's kind of the equivalent of if I thought my hand was broken and I thought, you know how I'm going to find this out now? I'm going to do a one-handed cartwheel. Just to see, to test it.
Yeah.
Like
before I drive. To be safe. Actually, my adultie had a great one yesterday. Maya put up a thing, I don't know, was it yesterday or the day before, saying the most shocking thing about Dominic Cummings is the fact that he's only 48.
Oh, my God.
He's only 48, Emma.
So he was obviously just, he looked like that.
In the 90s. He was a raver. That's just his head, Emma.
He obviously just looked, he's one of those people, he looked like that when he was 5 or something. But you know what it reminds me of? You know that thing, I don't know if you've seen it online, people doing the test on their children where they leave them alone with sweets or whatever and they say, not until I come back.
The chocolate test.
Yeah, it's a bit like that. It's kind of like somebody dealing with a lie or being caught out on something who has no skills to lie or to think up an excuse at all. Like, not that I'm defending Donald Trump at all, but at least when he's caught out and they're like, so we just have on video here that yesterday, not even 24 hours ago, you said this, and they'll show him the clip and he'll be like, well, that I didn't say that, so next.
He's like, I think you're a nasty person.
Yeah, so
thank you. Next,
he doesn't even see the point when he's totally fucked. He doesn't even see the point in trying to explain it or justify it or have excuses for anything. And I think they actually should have adopted those kind of tactics rather than trying to explain it. Unless they were just going to come out and say, sorry, made a boo boo, big apologies. Like, it's either one or the other. La boo boo, yeah.
And I think unfortunately in England they have this terrible tendency to try to hold their public figures accountable. I think the rest of us have just copped a long time ago. There's no point in that. Like, you're pissing into the wind. So that's why in England they have these press conferences and people kind of explain what they were thinking and they answer questions. And
yes,
I mean, come on.
And,
like, there's just, as it's just completely, it's insulting my intelligence, it's insulting your intelligence. I think there's actually a full body imprint of my body in the couch as I watched this press conference. It was so cringe. And it does come back to the thing, because then even as I was watching it, Fred was like, oh, but you're lucky, you know, maybe if he was, you know, kind of worried about the child and he'd look after the child. And I was like, no, because he should have been very clear. You know, if I can do this, you can do this. And he did not make that clear. That's the issue. There were plenty. Imagine all the single parents, Emma, and there had to be an awful lot of them who got COVID-19 and had no one to look after their kids. Like, I mean, were they allowed to do that? It's such bullshit. I totally get why, you know, you saw him walking home from work yesterday and all the abuse he was getting. But I totally get why he was getting that level of abuse.
Because I think if it was like, if this was early on in COVID-19, there would be more humour around it. But I think at this stage, there's so many people who...
It's gone on too long.
Yeah, there's so many people that have, like, you know, sacrificed so much, been through really, like, difficult times, made more difficult by the restrictions and, you know, trying to keep within the rules and all that. So I think if it had been early on in the process, people would have been like, oh, he's a fucking joke. But I can totally understand why there is a level of anger around it, because people have made real sacrifices and, you know, it's made their lives more difficult like that with sick parents, sick children, funerals, all that stuff. So the message is like, oh, there's a rule for you muck, you know. That's what I was saying about Leo. I don't think Leo can pull off the topless in the park. Say, like, if me and you, right, went to go and get milk and bread.
Went topless in the park.
Not topless, but say, like, we...
We're all over the papers, Emma. We're so famous.
I know. But say, like, we'd the greasy hun bun, we'd the eyeliner from 3 days ago on the face. We were wearing, you know, a top with a good, like, a few different stains and whatever. And we bumped into somebody that we knew. They'd just be like, oh, there you are. How is it going? But, like, if that happened to so sue me, that acquaintance would assume she was having a nervous breakdown. If she rocked
yes,
up.
Yes, very true.
So it's the vibe. Yeah. You know, and we are lucky. We are in a privileged position that we can pull off going to the shop in a hack and people won't be worried about us or question it. Do you know?
And we still look sexy, which is not something that everyone can pull off. No. So we are very lucky.
I just feel like I can't imagine. You see, my problem is I can't imagine Leo whipping off the top real casually, because if you're going to be a person, if you're going to be a man, okay, let's put it, you know, let's gender this. If you're going to be a man who's going to whip off his top in the Phoenix Park, you just whip it off. It's casual. It's done within a millisecond. I can't imagine him just whipping the top off without saying to people, do you think it'd be weird if I took my top off? Like,
no, he definitely chewed out into the WhatsApp group before they rocked up to the park.
No, and you see, if you've got to ask people first before you do it, then you're not the right type of person to be whipping off the top.
I still support Leo minus the top, and I know why I shouldn't, but I still support him minus the top.
No,
I support Mash minus the top. I support the mates minus the tops.
But if I was hanging out with them, I'd say it got to the point where it was like, Jesus, Leo, just take your top off. The sun's fucking going in now. We've been talking about this all afternoon. If you want to take your top off, take it off. If you don't, but just stop banging on about it. I think it would have just wrecked everyone's day.
I mean, it was probably about as casually done as the placing of the Mr. Taoiseach mug during that photo op. You know what I mean? It's just, it's all very curated. I get it, but I still support it. Can I just give my vote for the quote of the week as well? I'm sure you heard this one, but we were just speaking of Mr. Orange there, DT himself.
Yeah.
I loved this quote from him. And I tested very positively in another sense this morning. I tested positively towards negative, right? So I tested perfectly this morning, meaning I tested negative. But that's a way of saying it, positively toward the negative, which was always my response when people asked me, had I gotten my STI results back?
Jeez.
Just that kind of very convoluted response, neither here nor there.
Is that Fred said to you, are you on the pill? Is that what you said?
Oh, please, come on. I didn't even justify that kind of ridiculous question with an answer. I was like 35 years of age, driving to Galway just so I can, quote, bump into you, and you think I'm on the pill. I mean, come on here, please. I did ask him, my latest thing now is when we're doing what adults do, is I stop before him and say, do you have a condom? And we have a good giggle because we're so past that point.
Ah, yeah, that's nice. I like that.
It is gas, isn't it, when you're up the duff. I was saying to him, I was like, it's mad to think, like, I cannot get pregnant by anyone else over the next few months. Like, isn't nature crazy the way it shackles you to one man?
Oh, you're finished now. You've just basically given this man your best years. So you better
the best years.
You better suck the life out of him. Because it's over.
I didn't know how you were going to finish that sentence there.
No. But you know.
Keep a PC.
I know that you can't, once you're pregnant, you can't get pregnant with somebody else. But like every so often, does like a Bliss magazine or Sugar or something problem page not slip into your head and be like, I'm pretty sure somebody got pregnant while they were pregnant? Or, you know, like that would happen to me. And I'm not even a worrier.
And,
like,
you know,
I just get freaked out about stuff. Like,
well, Bliss magazine. mean? I said for years, I didn't actually have the confidence to sit on a toilet seat. I was hovering over toilet seats until I was 32 years of age, based on a Bliss magazine article that I had been shown by a cousin, which informed me that basically the person wrote it and said, my friend got pregnant from sitting in a toilet on a toilet seat. And for the next 16 years, I was like, I am not, my ass is not touching a toilet seat but my own. I don't want to have to explain that immaculate conception pregnancy to my parents.
I know. I wonder though, is there somebody out there who, you know, the way like you were with the fella on holidays and you carried it on a bit too long. You had to keep it going because you'd bought into the lie and whatever. I wonder, is there still somebody out there like with a 20-year-old who's just kept that lie alive and been like, no, like I definitely got pregnant from sitting on a toilet. Like, I know it's mad, but it definitely happened. Like, they've lied about it so much, they almost believe it themselves. You know what I mean?
But they've probably convinced, oh, but you know the way you do have friends in your life that have lied so much about one thing that they have actually, like, history has changed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're like, but sure, yeah. I mean, that's like the time I got engaged in Ayanapa. Didn't happen, but at this point, we all believe it happened.
Oh, a girl who I was very good friends with growing up, she met this guy, right? And when they first, this like is true. I mean, the lie about her age, I think she lied about her age at least four different times. So in fairness to him, like he knew she was, okay, he knew she was underage, right? But in fairness to him, he couldn't have known what age she was because she lied about it so much. But when he first met her, she pretended she was German.
Oh, chestnut. Yeah, she's had a few beverages.
She didn't, this was in like McDonald's on a Saturday during the day. Pretended she was German.
Funny. And she had to keep it going.
She kept it up for a good few months. But like she was with this guy for 2 years. And it was just the whole thing. And she met the mom and everything, and she was like still in school. I think he was in his 20s, but the whole thing was built on lies. And she'd be like going to knock into him, and she's like, "Oh, do you want to come?" And I'd be just like, "No," because I was like, "I'm not getting involved in this web."
And was she pretending to be German the whole time?
No, she did pretend to be German for like a good few months. And then she kind of, what she'd do is she'd dilute the lies. So then it'd be like, no, like my mom is Irish, but my dad is German. Like all of a sudden you start talking with native Irish accent.
And I went to primary school in Ireland.
Yeah, and then it was like, okay, I was just back from Germany on a school trip. That's why me and my mate were talking German for the crack in McDonald's on a Saturday afternoon. But she'd never just come completely clean. It would always be like, you know, slight dilution.
No, I was, yeah. Well, you see, you can't break out of that too quickly. It has to be very gradual. But to be honest, like, I'm sorry, but if he was in his 20s and she was a schoolgirl, I kind of think, listen, he's fair game. I would probably pretend to be German as well.
I don't feel sorry for him. He was completely fair game, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, you were just like, the whole thing is great. But like, not that it's on the same level, but I do remember being on the lash with a friend of mine years ago, and she met some fella, and you know, like they're having the deep and meaningfuls, and he was talking about how it's so, so hard for him because his dad lived in Saudi Arabia. So my friend was like, oh my God, my dad lives in Saudi Arabia. So then we had to go off and like Google all this shit about Saudi Arabia. And like, of course, he was asking like, where does your dad live? And she had to do the whole like, I'm not really in touch with my dad. He's like, oh my God, that's so sad. And like, it came to the point where she was like, I have to end this because there's no way I can come back from A, pretending that my dad is in Saudi Arabia and has been living there for years, and also pretending that I have, like, she's so close to her dad. She's such a daddy's girl. So she fabricated this like really strange relationship. She was like, there's no coming back.
No, because see, whatever benefits your own fucked up lies that you've created, but like, Okay, and her, obviously, she just had to go on. She just had to finish it with him. It was too complicated. My thing, my mate was, I was like, I wasn't prepared to try and learn all the twists and turns of her fucking lies. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, because what are you getting out of it?
Exactly. If they're I've got enough of my own fucking lies.
I imagine your man was probably buying you all drinks, so you probably were getting something out of it. But I mean, other than that, no.
No, he looked.
But I just remember that night with the Saudi Arabia, and my friend coming up to me in the bathroom saying, "What's the capital of Saudi Arabia?"
Imagine.
And like, as in, had to be like, "Oh, you know, where does he live in the city?" "Oh, the north side." Like, all very general.
The north side, love it. Now, do you know what it is? Now I'm thinking of that fella who thought she was German. The crux of the matter was, did he have any good-looking mates? No. If he'd had good-looking mates,
that's,
I would have allowed him.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Of course, yeah.
I wasn't going to be no wingman bullshit. But
how can we not talk about the face of the week?
Chloe.
Oh, what did you make of the face, Emma?
Okay. I think she looks amazing. But my fear is now that her face is gradually going to start disappearing. Like, she's going to be left with no features.
Yes.
On her face. And I think that kind of look, I'd really love to see what she actually looks like first thing in the morning, because that kind of look, for me, I feel like it always needs to be heavily made up. So, like, say with Courtney, I kind of know what Courtney looks like without makeup and her hair scraped up in a bun, and Kim to a lesser extent, but you know what I mean. I just feel like her face has.
Well, Courtney and Kendall are the Ron seal in that family.
Yes,
you know, does exactly what it says on the tin. Like, you know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. I just feel, and I hate when, like, I hate when people say, "Oh, that's lovely now. Like, don't do any more, or you'll fucking destroy yourself." And you're like, "Fuck off." But I think she is slipping into that zone that if she does one more tweet, she's going to fuck her face. Like, she's actually going to fuck her face.
And I think it's just, you know, it probably feeds into, again, what we were saying earlier on about we're like the wind, you know, who knows what our opinions are on anything day to day. Because I'm conscious of a couple of weeks ago, we were berating Twitter heads for commenting on Adele's physical appearance. But I just feel like the Kardashians are so part of Up to 90. It would be remiss of us not to address it. To address it as only we can address it, which is saying everything and nothing all at the one time. Like, I think with Khloe, we've talked before about Khloe and how, like, she was always my favorite Kardashian for sure. I think, you know, like, certainly it's obviously totally different in the States, but I would imagine, like, LA is more extreme again, that everyone is going for the same. My issue is, it's like, do what you want to your face. It's your fucking face and it's your fucking money. Like, you pay for it. But I just think everyone's looking the same, and it's just, it becomes so monotonous. And it's sad to see someone lose what makes them them. Admittedly, if it makes them happier, grand. But, like, I mean, Khloe now looks like a completely different person. As does, do you know who also looks like a different person? Pauly D. Do you remember Pauly D from Jersey Shore?
Yeah, of course.
Has a new head.
Oh, does he?
Brand new head. So, totally new head. I'll send you a pic now. But as well with Khloe, you know, who's to say, in terms of, like, even like what she was saying, like what she actually looks like, sure, half her necklace then was missing from the photo. You know, in terms of the airbrushing, like, who knows what's going on, really? It's just it's very extreme. If she's feeling happier, grand. But, I mean, it would be nice if she still looked like Khloe, I think.
I know. Well, I see, I think, and not that I would go online and say, what the fuck happened to her face? Like, I wouldn't get involved in any of that. But I feel like I have more of a license to discuss her face, because even more so with Kim, like Kim's really trying, has been for years, obviously really trying to like move into fashion. Khloé's brand has been her body and her ever evolving transformation. And as I said before, she had that fucking awful show, Revenge Body, and all the rest of it. So she's kind of invited us to discuss her body and may comment on it in a way.
Well, she's very much commodified it in a way, yeah, that, say, the likes of Adele hasn't. Yeah, like, I mean, and absolutely. There's Polly T's new face.
Fucking hell, Judy.
Yeah, isn't he just, I mean, you wouldn't even know that's Polly T.
No. If somebody mentioned Polly T, I'd be like, oh yeah, no, he does look a bit like him, but he is good. See, I think it's that unfortunate thing. If you mess around with the nose, it is going to change completely how you look. Like your one in Dirty Dancing, whatever her name is, and then that was kind of the end of her career.
Her career was over then when she messed with the nose. Yeah.
I mean, so I just...
And I think
you can't mess with the nose, really. I think you have to... You can do other things, but I think, like, you could get, I don't know, but you could get fillers or whatever to, like, kind of...
I don't know, lift. But I think when you go for that pinched nose...
Yeah, the pinchy.
It's kind of hard to look beyond... It's kind of hard to look beyond the pinchy, isn't it?
It's kind of hard to look beyond the pinchy. But you see, do you know what I think? What else happens is, and even... to a lesser extent in a way, and you would hear people talk about this all the time, you know, the way when people lose a lot of weight, like, say, like, they do it in a healthy way, like, say somebody's like starting from the base where they're really overweight and the doctor's like, you know, you can't breathe properly, you know, you can't go up the stairs without having to stop for 5 minutes, like, you're in serious risk of having a massive heart attack or whatever. And then say they spend 2 years getting fit, getting healthy, eating right, completely overhaul of their whole life, and say they end up and they look completely different, right? It takes them, if they ever get there, so long to make the shift in their brain that's what I used to look like, but this is actually what I look like now. So for somebody to go in and have surgery on their face and get the old pinchy nose, they see that they're after getting the pinchy nose, but they don't. Their brain actually doesn't really make the actual connection that this is my nose now. That's why people keep like getting like smaller and smaller noses, or like bigger boobs, or bigger bum, or smaller waist, or, you know, because it's their brain can't make the adjustment, because you don't really believe that's what you now look like. I know I'm describing body dysmorphia in a really long way, but you know what I mean?
No, I totally agree. I think you're totally right, Ems. And then even I imagine as well, this is just, if I had the money, this is exactly how I would be, that I would do the pinchy nose, because you know how I feel about my nose. I would do pinchy nose, and then they'd show me the mirror, and they'd be like, well, and then I'd say, oh, I think I'm going to have to do my eyes now. Like, it's just not matching up. So it's that kind of domino effect, because with something like a face, everything has such a knock-on effect, and suddenly things are out of symmetry. And I mean, honestly, if I could go back to Vietnam all those years ago and that Vietnamese plastic surgeon who was like, my bum bag, I had a fanny pack, as they would say in the States, a fanny pack full of cash. And I was like, please just do my nose. Thankfully, this man had the foresight. Even though money talks, Emma, he was still like, money talks, but this is a mad bitch I've got on my hands.
Yeah.
So just told the translator, I'm sorry, but no. But it would have been such a slippery slope, because you do the nose, then you have to do the cheeks, then you have to do the eyes. Like, I mean, obviously do it if it makes you feel better. Personally, you know, the likes of Khloé, I'm like, I just kind of would like to see a little bit of Khloé. If she feels better about it, grand. But it's definitely plastic surgery in the extreme. And I think these kind of procedures seem to be getting more extreme in that you're losing any resemblance to your former self. But, like, you know, I would imagine you want to enhance and improve, but surely, I mean, even somebody put up on Twitter, like, I hope she doesn't have facial recognition on her phone. Like, it's actually, do you know, at that level now.
I know. Well, it's just, I'd be curious. I suppose, like, right, if you're in an industry where you're selling yourself as, like, some sort of fantasy star or whatever, but it's kind of like, right, so she's like, she's done the whole fitness thing, she's in a reality TV show, and then these images that she puts up are, is it like that she's just had so much work done, or is it a massive filter? So, like, obviously we're two L1s, we should be able to just like look at these mad images and rock on with our lives, but I think it would be nice if there was some sort of information or disclaimer, like, this photograph is highly edited, because everyone knows, like, that she's getting a lot of work done and certain members of that family are.
Yeah.
So, and I think, like, I don't know how much, like, I don't even think these pictures that she's putting out there are even achievable with hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Probably not even reflective of what she looks like.
That's what I mean.
Like, even she doesn't look like that. I mean, the necklace is missing. Like, half the necklace is missing in the photo. So there you go. It doesn't even, you know, you look at her and you think, wow, geez, she looks totally different. And she doesn't even look like that herself. So I don't know. I mean, look, in saying that, if I had money at,
no, yeah,
if money wasn't an issue when I was Kim Kardashian's sister, I'd probably be doing pinchy nose and a lot more as well. So, you know, who am I to talk?
Pinchy nose.
But no, just, and Polly D's gone a bit pillowy. So we'll throw that up on the Owl Insta. Just because we're really against objectifying people and focusing on people's physical appearance. So we're going to throw it up on the Instagram, and that's who we are. Okay.
But you know what? If people subscribed to the Patreon, we promised to spend that money to feed our children and our Julie's unborn child as well, because that's what it's actually about. Little for us,
it's all it? About the kids, guys. That's what makes us different.
Yeah,
we're all about the kids.
We're not going to spend any of that money on pinchy noses.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be on us. It's not going to be on the pinchy nose. It's going to be getting Tommy and Joe a matching outfit. It's going to be, you know, feeding the unborn child, whatever it is.
I know.
It's not going to be for us. And you need to know that about us, because we're just givers, aren't we, Emma?
We are. And I just want to say to people who haven't gotten on board yet, first of all, go fuck yourself. Well, don't. Like, if you're not planning on getting on that, if you are planning on doing it, like, yeah, I actually have been meaning, that's grand. But for the other people who have no intentions, you may go fuck yourselves. It's Joe's birthday tomorrow. He's 7. And I've gotten him a cake.
Well, if that doesn't get him on board, nothing will.
Yeah, and I've gotten him a cake, right? And I didn't get it from Manning's. I like the cakes from Manning's, but their photograph machine is broken, you know, when you get the photograph on the cake. And so I went to Super Value. It's still nice cakes, but we just had a bit of a buzz about Manning's recently. So anyway, I've ordered the cake. I'm going to pick it up tomorrow. And I got a Pokemon on it, and it has Happy Birthday, Joe. And that cake is setting me back €18. So, you know.
Wow.
So how many people is that? Putting in €6?
So we
patrons?
$3 Patreons just to pay for that cake.
Yeah, so I'm going to do.
That's what I'm saying, guys.
Before we go, I'm going to say, Louise, if you're listening, get your hand out of your, start pulling your knickers out of your hole and put your hand in your pocket and give us a few quid. I'm going to say to Mairead, I know you're listening. If you could, just fucking do it. And who was the other person I wanted to say it to? It was Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie, if you could just, and you have to fucking cash. I know you have the cash.
Yeah. And Anne-Marie's the type, she'll be saying it, but she won't do it. That's the thing about Anne-Marie.
Yeah, and we've had enough of it now. We're a good few weeks into it now.
So just to say, guys, before we wrap it up, The extra episode this week, remember, for $3 a month, you get 4 extra episodes looking at celebrity scandals, which is the best fucking value in town. I'm sorry. Like, Joe Rogan, take note. That's what you should be doing, mm-hmm. Joe. Serious value. So this week, we are looking at Robin Thicke and Miley Cyrus. We meant to look at it last week. We had a complete waffler last week. My audio was a bit shite, but it's much better now. And a few people did get it. To say that my fire alarm needed new batteries. So thank you so much for looking out for me. And we're going to do that one. That's going to be out this Thursday. And then the video this week, because if you're a $6 subscriber, you also get 4 extra videos and access to our Zoom panels, which was great last week, wasn't it, Emma?
It was great. And actually, somebody messaged to say, oh, they'll have to come on for the next one, but they were scared to do it. And I was saying to her, oh, I was like, don't worry at all. I was like, I'd kind of be the same. I'd be like, feel a little bit scarlet, but I was like, not like that at all. But remember, we were saying, Judy, for the next one in on the Patreon page, we'll, if people want to ask questions in advance. So we won't start talking to you unless you start talking to us.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way, because I'd be a bit the same, where I might necessarily be the first one to start hooper and hollering. And so we won't talk to you until you talk to us. Wouldn't that be a good way?
Yeah, that's the way we're going to play it. So we're going to sit there in silence until someone asks a question. That's what we're going to do. And Emma, you had that idea, which I thought was great. I'll put it up on the Patreon, the login details for the Zoom party. And in the comments section, you can write, obviously, if you're a $6 Patreon, anyone can do it in that tier. Just write any questions you'd like answered or any questions you want to ask us. And then we can go through those and have a bit of crack with it in the Zoom, which might be a nice
one. Say just very quickly before we go, Belinda sent me messages of but I haven't actually gotten a chance to show Joe yet with, well, Ella's birthday and then working and doing schoolwork and all that, but I would defo show him now tomorrow, but I wanted to give it the time that it required. So thank you so much, and I'll chat to you soon, but that's so kind.
What an absolute joke, Belinda. So kind. Yeah. I know. And as I said on the Zoom, I can't believe 4 years of trying to get you to express some kind of emotion. And Belinda did it with just 5 simple words. I was like, Belinda, seriously, hats off to you.
Hello.
And the video this week is going to be a bit of crack. It's going to be a cook along with myself and Fred.
What are you going to do? A cook along? Or is it going to be a surprise?
It's going to be a surprise.
Okay.
And so it's going to be pretty funny.
And tell people tell up to 90 listeners about your podcast in case they don't know.
Oh, thanks so much, Emma. I have this other little podcast. It's a very different vibe. It's called Crime Land. And it's a true crime podcast where I look at true crime. I really want to get Emma on, but you're so busy, I feel bad asking because your time is so precious.
No,
but you know what one I think I'm going to get you on to do? Do you know what one would be so brilliant?
Wow.
Shannon Matthews, that story. Do you remember that one?
The woman and the children.
Do you remember Shannon Matthews was the one where the family watched Shameless and got this amazing idea about kidnapping the child?
Oh my God.
It's the craziest story ever. And it just has Emma Doran written all over it.
Oh my God.
So, I'll have to give it a whirl.
Yeah, well, I do like that one. I've watched a few bits on it now. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, no, it's probably one that maybe people are too familiar with it, but I just thought, oh, that'd be a great one to do. But anyway, so it's called Crimeland. Very different vibe. Won't be for every up to 90 listener, but if you are into true crime, you can check that out. Thanks so much, Emma, for saying that.
Why wouldn't I? I feel like
but you see, I never want to say.
No, this is an open relationship.
I know. Well, I did say that on the Zoom. You see, I never want to say because it is kind of like an open relationship where you're like, you don't want to talk about the other person. But obviously up to 90 is my firstborn. You know, up to 90 is always going to be the baby. I needed some outlet for the true crime. Like it was getting pretty, like every week up to 90, I was suggesting a murder.
But
and you're like, this goes against the vibe.
Do you know the way at the start, when you started doing it, like you just didn't want to talk about it and you were like, I don't know about this. So I was like, okay, don't make some time now. But you seem to be in a good place at it now, so it feels natural to say.
We're in a good place with the Crime Land. Yeah. There were a few technical issues and things with Crime Land for a while. And it's a different dynamic because, you know, it's me up to 90. I enjoy it so much because we're having the crack.
Yeah.
So it's just a different beast. Crime Land because, you know, you do your research, you write up the story, and it's, you know, it's not as loosey-goosey, obviously. It's a different thing, but I do love it. So if you're into true crime, please do check it out. And then Robin Thicke, Miley Cyrus, and a cook along this week for all our lovely Patreons. Thanks to everyone who came to the Zoom. We had great crack,
and thanks for everyone who's already supporting us. Thanks very much to those people.
Yes, thank you so much. It means no, and you know what? It's actually been like just the best thing ever, Emma, hasn't it? Like, we are so, so chuffed with the amount of people supporting. So thank you so much.
Oh, yeah,
like,
big time.
Really has made my lockdown. Yeah.
Oh, really has. Like, so all the rants aside, it's great. Me ranting about it.
And it's just been so motivating. And it really, you know, it kind of, you know, not to get all like dreamed a dream on it. Anne Hathaway, but it does kind of give you a bit of hope. Oh, like, this could be something that could, you know, ultimately, like, we could kind of like make this our job. Like, wouldn't that be the dream, Emma?
I know. This time next year,
we're a couple of years. It is getting a bit Anne Hathaway, but you know, it does make you think like that. That you're like, oh my god, something I love so much, wouldn't that be amazing? We're a little bit off that now, obviously, but like, it gives you something to work towards.
It does. Always.
I've been Sheely Jane.
I've been Emma Dorn. God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.